أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أوصيك ونفسي بتقوى الله. Dear brothers and sisters, we're coming up to a season that we go through every year, which is the Christmas season. And every year I get asked at least 3 or 4 times, and I'm sure it's probably common experience with a lot of Muslims. I get asked, do you celebrate Christmas? And the answer I give is yes and no. I celebrate Christmas in as far as it's a public holiday, and it's a nice time to spend good time in an innocent way. Not drinking, not fornicating, not partying in a wild way. However, as Muslims, we do not commemorate the birth of Jesus in Christmas. And there are 2 reasons for that. The main reason is that Jesus was not born in Christmas. Jesus was not born in December at all. As a matter of fact, as Muslims, we hold Jesus in a very high regard. We respect him as one of the mightiest messengers of Allah. We believe that he had a miraculous birth, and that he had a lot of miracles that he performed during his lifetime, and he had a great role to play, and we will discuss that later on. However, he was not born in December. So his birthday is not on the 25th of December. So we're not commemorating his birthday on the 25th of December. And the proof for the fact that Jesus was not born in December is actually in the Bible, as well as in the Quran. In the Bible, it's talking about when Jesus was born, the shepherds were out in the fields at the night time, minding the flocks. Now we know that Jesus was born in Palestine. December, Palestine is very cold, and it might be even snowing. So the shepherds would not be out in the fields at night time when he was born. So even the Bible itself proves that he was not born in December. In the Quran, Allah tells us that when Sayyidah Maryam gave birth to Jesus, she was ordered to shake the palm tree so that it drops some ripe palms. تُسَاقِتْ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا. And we know that the dates are ripe in summer, midsummer, about August, beginning of September time. So it couldn't have been right then. So both in the Quran and the Bible, it proves that Jesus was not really born, couldn't have been born in December. So the fact that we, you know, that they are celebrating the birth of Jesus in December is historically inaccurate. Now, what is the story behind Christmas? What is Christmas really about? And I think if you look into it, you will find that Christmas had nothing to do with Christianity. Christmas was actually a pagan feast. People in the old times took their gods from nature. So if they had big rivers next to them, they would worship the rivers. If there were big rocks, they would worship a big rock. Big trees, they would worship a tree. And most of all, they used to worship the sun, which is quite a common thing that they used to do. So in Northern Europe, they structured their holidays around the seasons. So the midwinter solstice, they celebrated the returning of the sun. Because as we know, the more north you go, the longer the days become in winter, the nights become in winter, and the shorter the days. We can see that even here. But if you went even further north, you would experience that more. So they used to celebrate the returning of the sun, which is on the December the 22nd. And by December the 25th, it had returned fully. So what they used to do is to celebrate this. And in Greece and Rome, they used to have something called the Bacchanalia. The Bacchanalia was a Roman festival celebrating the god Bacchus. And he was the god of wine, feasting, intoxication, and ecstasy. They also celebrated another feast, which was called the Saturnalia. And the Saturnalia was celebrating the god Saturn. He is the god of time, and the god of the sun, the god of liberation and agriculture. They observed that on December the 17th every year. It used to be a one-day celebration, but then they extended it to a whole week. Now, I'm just telling you these things because I want you to notice the similarities between what's happening today in Christmas and what they used to do in the good old days. Now, what they used to do on the Saturnalia is that they used to reverse the roles of the master and slaves. So the masters would serve the slaves and the slaves would behave like masters just for this period of time. And there were no restrictions. They sort of used to have a loose celebration. And they would exchange presents, including small dolls for children and candles for adults. And notice the similarities between what used to happen then and what's happening today. And there was lots of drinking, gambling, singing, and adult and a lot of nudity, public nudity as well. And that's well documented, historically speaking. Now, in Saturnalia, they used to celebrate themselves and say each other and say, Bona Saturnalia, the equivalent of Merry Christmas today. Now, another interesting feast was the solar feast of Natalis Invincible. And this was celebrated on the 25th of December, precisely. And this is where the Christmas day was chosen. So, in Northern Europe, while celebrating, what they used to do because it was dark, they used to put lights around the houses. And again, notice the similarities with today, lights around the houses. And they used to bring in fir trees, because in the north, in winter, all green died, all trees died except for the fir trees. So they used to bring in some fir trees into their houses because they believed that by bringing in the only living things into their houses, it would bring them spiritual power that's in the tree and protects them from the evil. And the light they used to put on top of the tree, they used to put light on top of the tree, which we still done today, either a light or an angel or whatever, was actually to present the sun god. So if you look at it carefully, Christmas is not the celebration of the Son of God. Christmas is the celebration of the Sun God. So nothing to do really with Jesus or Christianity, as a matter of fact. Now, what about Santa Claus? Santa Claus was an image of Saturn. And those of you who visit the Sistern Chapel would see that in the Sistern Chapel, there's a man with a beard on a sleigh. But the sleigh is being dragged by snakes that have wings. So the snakes were just replaced by the reindeer. But it's the same image. And Santa Claus is based on Saint Nicholas, who was a priest that lived in Constantinople, which is present-day Turkey. And the interesting thing that in Germany, they used to consider Saint Nicholas to be the devil. So things have changed quite a bit now. Now, the Norse believed that the goddess Hertha appeared in the fireplace and brought good luck to the home. Hence the relation to the fireplace today in Christmas. The Druid home owners used to place milk and pastries to appease the goddess when she came down the chimney into the fireplace. So again, all the beliefs that are happening today, all the things that are happening today, as we see, really are all primarily pagan beliefs, pagan festivals. Now, When I was researching this, I came across a very interesting fact. In 1647, the British Parliament banned Christmas in England because it was a satanic ritual. So, anyway. Now, there are also other relations to other to Easter and other Halloween and other festivals which have all got relations to the pagan beliefs, but we don't have time to go through all this. But all what I want to explain is that Christmas, as it is today, as it's celebrated, although it is supposed to be to celebrate the birth of Jesus, has got nothing to do, because Jesus was not born in December. And all the things that have got to do with Santa Claus, with the trees, with the lights and everything, have got nothing to do with the Christian belief. It's actually all pagan beliefs. So, what do we do as Muslims? This is the important thing for us. Now, first of all, we need to understand that we live in a society which largely has these beliefs. And we must respect people around us. We must keep relationships with families and friends and neighbors, especially for those of us who have reverted to Islam. They must not break the relationships with their family. As a matter of fact, during Christmas time, they must visit their family and they must share the family in their celebrations. However, the sharing in the celebrations should stop at a certain level. So, yes, we sit with them, we celebrate with them, we try to be nice to them, but we do not take part in any religious celebrations. And we must also be sensitive to people's feelings without following pagan traditions. So we don't follow blindly. We need to just be careful about what we're following. So if somebody, especially if somebody, you know, congratulates us in Eid, and tells us, which is very common now, or sends us cards in Eid, we should congratulate them on their celebrations as well, and maybe send them even cards. There is nothing wrong with that. We need to remember that Islam is a gift that brought the last testament and corrected the mix-up. Because what's happening in Christmas is actually a mix-up. When the Christians were persecuted and they immigrated north to run away from the persecution, you know, the saying, if you can't beat them, join them. So the pagans had these Christmas celebrations and they joined in these celebrations, and now it became part of their rituals. We don't want to repeat the same mistakes. We are courteous to our colleagues, to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors, but we do not join in the religious celebration. Now, the other thing which is very important is that Christmas is a very good chance for us to explain Islam and explain our beliefs. So we need to explain to them that a Muslim cannot be a Muslim unless he believes in Jesus and loves Prophet Jesus. There's nothing wrong, as a matter of fact, Jesus Christ, there's nothing wrong with saying Jesus Christ. He is mentioned as such in the Quran, Al-Masih wa Isa. Al-Masih means the anointed one, the one who's been rubbed. Al-Masih wa Isa ibn Maryam, mentioned at least 8 times in the Quran as Al-Masih wa Isa. So there's nothing wrong with saying Jesus Christ and discussing Jesus Christ as being Jesus Christ. That's how he's called in the Quran. Now, we need to explain to them that we believe that he is one of the mightiest prophets of Islam. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not the only prophet of Islam. All prophets, starting from Adam, are prophets of Islam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was only the seal of the prophets. He was the final prophet. He brought the final testament. But all prophets before him were all prophets of Islam. So you believe in Jesus. You can't be a Muslim unless you believe in Jesus. You can't be a Muslim unless you believe in Mary, Sayyidah Maryam. And you can't be a Muslim unless you believe in her pregnancy. That's been a big miracle from Allah. Allah tells us in the Quran, "Allah istafaki 'ala nisa' al-'alamin." She has been chosen from all women. All women. She is the most revered woman. We know from Sunnah that there are 4 other women: Maryam, Asya Khadija and Fatima. But the only one who was mentioned by name in the Quran is Sayyida Maryam. Now, Jesus was the only child in the history who gave a speech while still newborn. Other babies have spoken one or two words, but Jesus gave an actual speech, which we're told about in the Quran. It's a long speech. He performed miracles that no other prophets have performed. Now, what we need to explain also is, the only difference is that when the Romans attempted to capture him, Allah raised him. And he was never placed on the cross. Jesus Christ was never placed on the cross. But it was Judas the Iscariot. Allah has changed his appearance to look like Jesus so that he would be placed on the cross in his place. So, I think that we need to be aware of all the facts. There are so many other facts that we can talk about, but unfortunately the time is very short because of Asr prayer. But maybe we can talk about some other time. But I think that we should all be aware of where Jesus stands in Islam, where Sayyida Maryam stands in Islam, and what are our actual beliefs with regards to them. Because it's a very good chance, it's an opportunity for us to explain this to our friends and our colleagues. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Balighu anni walau ayah." So, doing da'wah is not optional. Doing da'wah is a must on all of us. And this is a chance to do da'wah in a nice way. But to be able to do da'wah, you must read first. Because you don't want to start talking about things that you're not sure about and then get asked questions that you cannot answer, because then it's counterproductive. So, I'm quite happy to sit with whoever wants to discuss and explain a bit more about where Jesus and Mary stand in the Quran and where they stand in Islam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله النعمة المهداة والرحمة المزداة والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So going on from there, I know that there are many opinions from scholars about Christmas, and there are some opinions about congratulating people in Christmas or Christians in the feasts or saying to somebody Merry Christmas. I know that there are different opinions. However, I think that one of the opinions that I found quite acceptable, and by the way, of course, this is not my opinion, that's the opinion of scholars, and very revered scholars, who say that you can congratulate Christmas on Christmas, especially if they congratulate you on Eid. And where they come from is in the Quran, where it says, إِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. If somebody says hello to you or says, Assalamu alaikum, then you should answer back in the same way or in a better way. So if they congratulate us on our Eid, then we should answer back by congratulating them on their feasts as well. And this is the fatwa of, as I said, more than one scholar, amongst which is Sheikh Qaradawi, and you can look it up if you have doubts about that. However, we should not take part in the religious ceremonies. So congratulating them is one thing, and taking part in him singing or attending church is a different story. This is not right. This is not acceptable. But the mere congratulation and the courteous, and being courteous to them and being nice to them, is a good way. As a matter of fact, it's a good way of spreading Islam and the word of Islam to everybody. Also in the Quran it says, لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من ديارهم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. It says that those who have not fought you or have not kicked you out of your land, there's nothing wrong with interacting with them. And it says أن تبروهم. تبروهم means to, it's the same like the birr of الوالدين, of the parents. So تبروهم means to be nice to them, to be courteous to them, to visit them, to go to their house, allow them to come to your house. And birr carries a lot of other meanings. If they need something, you should be there for them. Don't forget that Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم has, the Sahaba said, مَزَلْ رَسُولُ يُوصِينَ عَلَى الْجَارِ حَتَّى ظَنَنَّا أَنَّهُ سَيُوَرِّثُهُ. Prophet kept telling them, be careful, look after your neighbors, look after your neighbors, look after your neighbors, until we thought that he was going to ask us to let the neighbors be part of our inheritance. So, neighbors, I'm sure all of us have got Christian neighbors. We need to look after them, we need to be good to them. So it's a good chance to show them what Islam is really about. It's a good chance to show them that Islam is not just about terrorism and violence and all the things that are pictured in the media. It's a good chance for you to do da'wah. And when you do da'wah, you don't only invite other people, but you also take a lot of thawab, inshaAllah. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام وعلي كلمة الدين يا رب العالمين ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعدكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله.